Let's get ready for some wheel nerds. Hi, and welcome to Wheel Nerds. This is episode 111. I'm Chuck.
And I'm Todd.
We're going to be talking about motorcycles.
And how I'm right all the time.
Oh, God.
I, Chuck, am right.
Yeah?
I'm right.
Yeah?
Right.
Todd. You're voting Romney? Is that what's happening?
No.
You got a Palin pen?
Yeah. No, I'm just correct about a lot of things. To wit,
what now?
Listener Kevin wrote us, "Hey, I just listened to the Todco episode where you were suggesting that mesh gear would cause a person to get hotter above 98.6. I'm going to have to call bullshit. Right. Cooling, in quotes, will happen above an ambient temperature."
Wait. Cooling.
As though it's not really a thing. Provided the air is not 100% humidity, but that would be a record for a dew point temp. The body will perspire and sweat will still be evaporating in the air, even above 98.6. That's true. This will allow the body to release heat via a phase change. This is known as latent energy transfer. Also true.
So bored now.
In fact, perspiration is the only way to cool our bodies in temps above 98.6 degrees, allow more air to flow over the skin and more sweat will evaporate, releasing more heat. Hold evaporate in your head. Granted, more heat will transfer in through convection, and depending on how big the mesh holes are, more radiation as well. What you lose by closing off airflow, though, is the body's only mechanism for cooling itself when it's sunny and the temperature is above 98.6. Yes, that is indeed how sweat works.
Mm-hmm.
My point is, a motorcycle is different.
Okay.
If I was sitting in the desert somewhere, I want the radiation off of me, and I want to cool. By the way...
You want to look like Lawrence of Arabia.
Well, have you noticed how Lawrence of Arabia wears a lot of mesh? Oh, wait. No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't, yeah.
He wears lots of loose clothing that the sun and wind can't get through.
Right.
Now, to Kevin's credit, he then went out and started looking around to prove me wrong, and found an Iron Butt article that did the exact opposite.
Okay, what's the Iron Butt say?
Well, we'll go ahead and link the article online, but the basic idea is that below a certain amount, having the wind blow directly across your body is very efficient.
Sure.
In a place like the desert, having the wind blow across your body is problematic because it's evaporating in a way that isn't cooling you,
it's just
flat out blowing off of you.
Yeah, it's just vaporizing the water before you even heat
wise. It's not
heat exchanging.
Yeah, there you go. It's not heat exchanging very efficiently.
It just goes poof.
Yeah, and what you end up with, too, is you get into a case where your front side has nothing on it because the water just sheets off.
Mm-hmm.
So, in summary, courtesy of the Iron Butt article, below 93 degrees, it's fairly easy to stay cool on a motorcycle as long as you're moving fast enough to get some wind against your skin for convective cooling.
Ride naked, ladies.
A mesh riding suit feels great. Above 93...
A sheer mesh riding suit.
Just saying.
Yeah.
At 93, it's a different world. The wind is no longer your friend. For long-distance riding and temperatures higher than 93 degrees, you need to, one, minimize your body's exposure to direct wind blast, i.e. a big loose coat with air circulating inside it, but not at the speed you're going.
Yeah.
Wear wicking undergarments, including a helmet liner.
Sure.
Yeah. Duh.
Yeah.
Carry water and drink frequently, and insulate parts of your body exposed to engine heat or radiator discharge. So the key thing here is, up to a certain point, mesh is good. Above a certain point, you actually don't want the wind blowing right on you.
Because then you're cooking.
Pretty much. So that's the
so
takeaway. Kevin's theory is true in a case where wind isn't blowing across you. He talks about air moving across you, but when wind is blowing on you so hard that you're not getting as much benefit from sweating.
Right. And wind as, say, you know, if you were going at 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you're not getting anything out of mesh. What you want is something that gives you air moving at a relatively slow speed around your body, but keeps air moving.
So I think the takeaway here is Kevin rides camels.
Looks that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's good of you to join us, Kevin. And thank you for making me right.
God damn it.
Once again.
Insufferable now. I'm just
drink it all in,
no,
Chuck.
No. No.
Just no.
Let's go to something else that you're not right on.
You're right.
So Franco's new bike. We had a listener that came close to identifying it.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was a Triumph, and it is. It's a street triple.
I suspected Triumph. I wasn't sure.
Oh, God damn it.
Well, only because it sounded like Claire's bike. Triumph has that weird jet engine noise, you know?
Mm-hmm. If only Harley's electric bike had been out sooner.
Yeah, right?
We would have been confused. You're calling me Triumph on the Triumph question. Again, it's...
The listeners get the real credit for sure identifying. And I threw out Triumph, and I also did the shotgun approach. It's a Triumph, or a four, or maybe, or one of these eight bikes! I'm going to name one of every brand in the hopes of being right.
Still, you're going to be insufferable for the rest of the evening.
Well, that's kind of status quo, isn't it?
What's for sale?
For sale, a 2005 Honda CBR600 4i. F4i.
Oh, neat.
In Urbana. I have a 2005 CBR600 F4i with 1687 original miles. Need gone ASAP! Exclamation points to oblivion.
I wonder why.
Has fresh oil and fluids. Will sell parts or bike as a whole for the right price. Need it gone fast, all in caps. Cash talks. Great bike for parts. Don't have the title. Call for more info or parts. Alex, make me an offer and this bike may become yours because I don't actually care how much I get for it.
PPS.
Not stolen. Yes, one of our listeners is good enough to send this one, which is blatantly stolen. Scream stolen. I don't have the title, and I'll sell parts for this perfectly nice, good shape running bike.
I'll give the guy credit. He made sure he did not get a clear picture of the plate.
You know, he actually got a picture of the plate of the car behind it.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe that one's probably not stolen.
The pickup truck he used to steal the bike in the first place.
That's probably it. Oh, that's too bad. It's kind of a nice looking bike.
Illinois cops, take note.
We have another one for sale here.
Ooh, what is it?
It's, hold on, pull it up here. Okay, so we've got a 2012 Kawasaki Versus. Kawasaki Other. Uh-huh. Black Kawasaki Versus, $5,000. Mm-hmm. Looks like it's in really good condition.
Okay, what does the goober say about it?
It's got 5,800 miles on it.
Uh-huh.
He's including soft luggage, tank bag, Madstad adjustable windshield mount, Tourtech hand guards, risers, highway pegs, happy trail. Soft luggage racks, a locking top box.
Starting to sound a little familiar.
A custom seat, a throttle lock, a 12-volt socket on the handlebars.
Chuck.
Look at the pictures. This is the bike's clean.
Nice, clean bike.
Yeah.
It's a shame there's
clearly set up for touring. This is a great price on this bike. $5,000. That's below.
There's something about
Blue Book
this
on this bike.
Something about this I feel
this,
a little.
This is a
nervous
mean,
about.
It's on eBay. It there's kinda, vehicle protection you can get.
It kind of looks like it's got Chuck all over it.
I don't know what you're talking about. I mean,
and there's a Buell in the background.
You can't see anything in the background. Look, I totally photoshopped out my license plate. I mean, good look. This could be anywhere.
Available now from Crazy Chuck's Used Bikes, the Versus we all knew he was going to inevitably sell upon buying the Buell.
Right?
I'm not going to sell the Versus, guys. I might still use it for something.
I'm using it for money.
Chuck's Versus, available now.
Yep.
So selling the Versus, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a nice bike.
It's a great bike.
Well appointed.
It's just, I mean, it's got Nelson rigs, soft side bags.
Does it still have the little power thing in it that we put in on the show?
No, that's going on a Buell.
That went in the Buell. Okay.
Yeah, I took the PDM off. I took and we need to get the guy from an Altrider to come talk to us about that still.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting to give Eric a call about that. I took a couple other little knickknacks off.
Mm-hmm.
For my heated jacket, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. But you left all the porn pictures all over it, I see.
I thought that was a selling point.
I think the naked lady on the tank is classy.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you want a Versus which is black on black on black in color, then here you go. And nicely appointed. And as Chuck has proven, you can jump on it and go wherever. Overland Expo, California.
Yeah. It's, you know.
You might want to, you know, wash the seat a little.
The seat's fine.
Maybe wash it a little.
Have you looked at yours?
Mine's perfect. Mine's beautiful. Mine's wonderful.
It's not the color it was when you got it.
It's
what?
It's weathered.
Yeah, weathered. It's not the right color.
It's a patina.
There's a patina on the patina.
Well.
I wanted to talk to you about this.
Mm-hmm.
I've had this bike 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
It only has 5,800 miles on it.
Yeah, you haven't really exactly been using it much, huh?
No. I haven't been doing a whole lot of riding.
No, I suppose not.
I mean, outside of commuting, mm-hmm. I did Overland Expo last year. I went to San Diego. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
You went to Durango this year?
That's about it.
I mean, this is really depressing.
Yeah, we're lame.
We are pretty lame.
So lame.
I don't understand. So I mean, granted, I've had multiple bikes, and you know, I had the Thruxton when I
had. Yeah, I had the Ural.
But still, yeah. There should be more miles on that. I'm very lame.
So listen, after the show, do you want to go over to the mall and buy some dad shorts? They look really comfy. They have like those, you know, stretchy waist.
Can we kiss?
No.
Damn it. Okay, yeah, fine. Hey, does this rag smell like chloroform to you?
Nice try, Chuck. You're not going to get me with that again.
Today.
Today. Well, I'm sad to see the Versys go. It's a fun bike, and I really enjoyed my ride on it. I don't think the Billy I was following enjoyed my ride on it very much.
It's a great bike.
It's a fantastic bike. It rips.
I've had a couple nibbles on it. Mm-hmm. One guy wanted to trade me his Warrior for it, I think.
Wow, that sounds terrible.
I wasn't in the market for a cruiser, but he had a nicely appointed Warrior.
Yeah.
But yeah, another guy's like, oh, I want to do touring.
Mm-hmm. Well, this will do that.
Yeah. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. It's on sale. I'll post a link. eBay, ADV Rider.
Available now.
It's all over.
Chuck's bike and Wheel Nerd Listener bargains available.
If a Wheel Nerd Listener buys this bike, I will write it out to you.
And put a sticker on it for them.
Yes.
Another sticker on it.
On your butt.
Many Wheel Nerd stickers come with bike. Available
hey,
wait, now.
Not many. Hey, let's not talk crazy with the sticker. Okay.
A couple Wheel Nerd stickers will come with the bike. One.
And a Chuck will deliver.
And Chuck delivery.
But you'll have to get him like food.
Beer and food.
Food and you know, things, sandwich. And, yeah.
Speaking of bikes that haven't been ridden much.
Yeah.
Guess what is back on the road?
The Strom?
The Hover Strom is hovering no more.
It's got wheels, forks, and everything.
It's got wheels and the tires that hold air.
So did you
totally rebuilt forks?
Did you make a PVC tool?
No, I didn't end up making a PVC tool.
What'd you do?
Rob gave me some really good advice of what you do if you want to pound the seal down. You take the new seal and you put it on there. Yeah. And then you put the old seal over the top of it. And you wail on the old seal with a rubber hammer.
Okay.
The rubber hammer won't ding up your forks.
Yeah.
And you can just pound on it and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, because you're throwing it away.
Yeah, you're throwing away the old seal.
That's not as exciting as the PVC.
No. Now in fairness, I did use the turkey baster air gap setter.
Okay.
Which turns out to work beautifully because you just get a cheap, narrow turkey baster and you measure twice and then mark it with a Sharpie at 140 millimeters in the case of the Strom. And, and then you just fill it slightly above that and done. Actually, I was amazed at how easy the forks were. I got that thing done. I was expecting a whole day.
Yeah.
I got the forks just torn down, put back together, and both wheels back on the bike in the morning.
Wow.
Some of that is that I can take the wheels on and off the Strom while completely drunk and asleep. I don't even realize I'm doing it sometimes. I'm just like, oh, the wheels are off, and they're back on. Oh, the front fairing's off.
And he's going about 80 miles an hour when this happens.
Like, oh, Christ, I took the front fairing off, and I wasn't paying attention again. Oh, God, this always happens to me. Oh, man.
Cops waving at you.
Yeah, I got that way with the Ural, too, where I could just do the normal teardown stuff, like, without even blinking. Put it on the center stand and have the rear wheel off in a minute.
You put the Ural on the center stand?
Yeah. Yeah, the burn-yourself center stand. You have a burn-yourself center stand?
I haven't tried it.
Look behind your, you don't have the pipes that burn you. So you won't burn yourself.
Okay.
it's there in the wheel. It's the dumbest center stand ever invented, but it gets the rear wheel off the ground, so
accomplished. Okay.
Does what it says on the tin, I guess.
Okay.
Would be the best way I could describe it.
Huh.
But yeah, so I get the whole thing back together and I get on the bike and I start riding and immediately I'm like, oh, the new tire. You know that new tire feel where they sort of feel like
a little loose.
Squishy and squirmy kind of feeling. I didn't like that. And the front end was acting funny and all my instincts about when I'm going to work and I'm feeling the bike feels off. It feels really different and off. Uh-huh. I'm complaining to Charlie about it. I'm like, it's nothing different. I just leave work and I go home again. It's a little better this time. I come back again and now the tires have temperature cycled a few times. So they're, the glap is off and now they're gripping.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute. So I'm going along and I feel like the front wheel feels like heavy. But like, here's the thing. Heavy in like a good way.
Okay.
Like heavy in like, it's like, it's on the ground. It's
planted.
It is, that's what I finally came to. I'm like, this is what people mean when they say planted. I've never experienced planted before.
This is what it's supposed to be like.
Wow, this is great. And so I'm riding the thing and I'm suddenly realizing I'm like, I tip it in and I'm getting all of this. The bars are talking to me now. Like the whole front end of the bike is giving me all this information.
So did you go straight home?
Hmm?
Did you go straight home?
No.
Okay.
The bike's sending me all this information now, and I don't understand a word it's saying.
The bike sends you all this information, and it distracted you, and you missed a turn to go to your house.
The bike, no, I didn't quite do that. Yeah, that's the story. I missed the turn and ended up in the canyon. which can actually happen in my house.
Yes, it can.
But, yeah.
One turn.
It's wow, man, what a difference. And, like, it's weird, because you don't realize how much you compensate for a bike suspension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Strom had a really slushy front suspension. It was overdamped. So every time you hit something, it was this really like kind of thing. And it was this really hard shock. And then the front end would just go blah, blah, because it was, you know, undersprung. So I put in lighter oil and stiffer springs. And now bumps come and it's like, there was a bump. And you're like, you know, there was a bump. It's not invisible, but you're like, eh.
How long have you been riding like this now?
2 days.
Before that, you've had the Strom how many years?
Oh, God, 8 years. Well, and you know, I'm going through gutters now. Is like my instincts are all wrong. I like have my body all set up, and I'm like, why did I do that? Whereas previously it was wob through the gutter. You don't realize how bad the wallow is. And Charlie describes it like this. He says, the only thing you really have a frame of reference for is the best suspension that you ride a lot. Because I've ridden bikes with better suspension.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a totally different bike.
Once or twice.
Yeah, and you ride a few times and that's that. Riding your own bike that you know, like, especially the Strom, which has, you know, a Todd butt groove in it a mile deep.
Yeah.
I mean, wow, man. Listeners, if you're thinking about upgrading your suspension, do it. Do it now. Oh, my God. Do it. Forks are easy, man. Cartridge forks are a joke. The back was way harder to do, and only because I couldn't get it squeezing in between all of those frame spars and everything.
That's what she said.
Something like that. It involved two jacks and a lot of swearing and Claire and I working together. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
That's what she said.
Huh. Suspension upgrades, man. Holy shit. Oh, my God. Why did I wait?
I don't know.
I mean, new springs are like $100. They're nothing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's like a new bike.
It's a whole new bike. With the oil leak fixed and the front suspension better, it is like, wow, this is cool. Where have you been all this time, Strom? And it's like, attached to your ass. Same as always. Nobody else ever owned me, jackass. I've been here all along.
So are you gonna take it out on a Sunday ride?
I don't know. I might have to.
I mean, that goes back to the we're not riding, but now you clearly have this passion that you want to try it out.
I do, and I'm very eager to take it on a Sunday ride. The trouble is finding a Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, because on the one hand, I'm like, ooh, I really want to ride this bike, but then you know, I'm thinking like coming home today, I'm like, ooh, I really want to go ride this bike, but I kind of want to go home and play with my daughter.
Yeah. Know?
It's like, huh? I think I'll do a Sunday ride sometime. I took care of the kid this weekend. And let me tell you, if you're not exhausted, take care of a kid for a weekend.
Yeah. Well, you know, I get my daughter every other weekend. Mm-hmm. Sunday is Lagoon Day.
Mm, oh, my God.
Because we have passes.
So. Lagoon's a water park, for those who don't know.
Well, it's an amusement park.
Oh, good.
There's roller coasters.
Oh, there you go.
You know, rides and stuff. Mm-hmm. We've never been to the water park.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, then. Roller coasters.
Yeah.
Well.
Have you been to Lagoon?
Yeah.
You don't remember the roller coasters?
No. I was at the water section.
Okay. You walked through the kiddie roller part to get to the water section.
I suppose you do it that.
Wait until Iris is a little older. Yeah, I know. Then we'll have this conversation.
Let me tell you about Chuck E. Cheese. Please no.
See, you're looking at me with that I don't have kids look, but wait, maybe a year. And then you will know the Kitty Land at Lagoon and the face painter. And the ladybug, the Bambara Chinese dragon thingy.
Okay, then.
You'll get to know those.
All right, then.
Because, yeah. I mean, I'm glad I got the passes for it, because, man, Sophie loves that stuff.
But you're ready. You're ready for a nap at the end.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's fun. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, and that's, you know, that's a Sunday I don't ride. I mean, I don't ride at all. And, well, no, that's not true. I actually kind of ride a little more now.
Mm.
Because Sophie hates getting in the car.
So. Where's the Earl, Dad? Will I have the car today? No.
No. Yeah.
Unacceptable. No.
She's like putting on her helmet. She's just standing in the door with the helmet on.
Giving you the look. Yeah. Well.
Okay.
Chop, chop.
Let me change clothes. There we go. Put pants on. I was going to wear these shorts.
I'm still totally jealous of that, just for the record.
I mean, it's a blast. I love it. I washed my suit.
Did you?
The tees, yeah.
Wow.
Because it was kind of gnarly.
And it's back to that bright blue that kind of hurts to look at directly.
It is. It looks clean.
I remember when you first got it.
It looks cool. Kind of
hurt to look at it. So listeners this week are going to interview us for giggles.
Not just listeners. I had a lot of questions, too.
Okay.
I had this idea last night.
Mm-hmm.
While I was alone in bed.
I've heard enough. We've all heard enough.
We've got a lot of new listeners.
It's true.
And even with like some of the old timers, we've only done like 100 shows.
No, 111.
But I mean, there's a lot of things that people might not know about us.
Okay, that's fair.
There's a lot of things I don't know about you.
Okay.
A lot of things you're about to find out on me.
Oh, God.
Yep. So I asked listeners for questions.
All right.
I wanted all kinds of questions, but people mostly stuck to motorcycles.
Yeah, that makes fine. A certain amount of sense.
Now, what is the first part of your body, Todd, to give you problems on a long ride?
Center of my back. Just right of the spine. I know it well and hate it passionately.
Is that what the seat and everything is?
It's the seat and the crazy ass handlebars and the idiotic risers and the constantly rocking off my throttle and flapping my arms around. Try to loosen that back up, and it makes this awful pop noise, and then it's okay for a while.
Where's that from?
I'm going to go ahead and guess from crashing my face off on skis or okay. punching the computer.
You're pretty young for back problems.
Yeah, well.
I have a family lineage of back problems, but
yeah,
not
it
like that.
Kind of hurts right now that I'm thinking about it. I don't sit up straight. I slouch.
That's bad.
Yes.
Slouching exaggerates my back problems.
How about you? What's the first thing that hurts on a trip?
My ears.
Your ears? Interesting. From the helmet or like from the headphones? Well,
combination of the helmet and whatever I've got in my ears.
Hmm.
Whatever plugs.
Interesting.
It's just kind of a dull pain.
Yeah. Enough that it gets annoying. It's hard to concentrate.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
That's how my back starts.
Yeah. And, so my ears.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's why the listener's talking about one of us trying to do an iron butt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can do it.
No. There's a lot of reason my limit is around, like, the longest day is 500, maybe 600 miles on a real grunter.
When we get our Patreon campaign going, one of the goals will be to make me do an iron butt.
Iron Chuck?
Iron Chuck.
Oh, good.
On the Ural.
Wow.
Well, depending on what milestone. If we reach a certain amount of dollars per show, listeners, I'll do it on the Buell. If we go over that to a stretch goal, I'll try it on the Ural.
You know what? I'll even be in the sidecar for that in the Ural. And by the end of it, I will be so drunk I won't be able to stand up.
Oh my God! If you okay,
and I can film it from there too.
It's cheating if we're switching off. But right. If you just stay in the sidecar and get drunk,
yeah, and then I think that still counts
to the point where I have to use Sophie's harness just to hold you upright.
I'm asleep.
Utah cops will pull me over for smuggling in booze because of your blood alcohol content.
Don't make him belt. We're too close to the hot mic.
You would be Bud Miller.
I am the human Bud Miller.
Pull into my driveway, put a spigot in your stomach.
Just pull in, you just unclip the harness, and just let me slide out.
Oh my God, listeners, you have to help us make this happen. We'll have a milestone on our Patreon campaign. If you hit that milestone.
I know what we can do for that Iron Chuck too.
Okay.
We're gonna do the Wheel Nerds, multi-state contraband tour. Here in Utah, we have states where you go to buy beer because you don't go in Utah.
That's true.
We can go to Colorado, Wyoming, Idaho, Nevada. Arizona's way too far. Arizona's like two iron butts. But we can hit the other four. Yeah. Hit all four states.
Yeah.
Get drinks in all four states. Well, I'll get drinks.
You'll get drinks. You'll be
you'll ride.
Walking bar. You'll be a walking keg.
Clanky, clank, clanky, clank. You have anything in there? No! Clang, clang, clang. Yep.
Okay, listeners, that's going to be one of our Patreon goals. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. It's just going to be me filming drunken you.
No, I mean, it'll start with me sort of foggily filming things. Okay, so there's one I really like they had because it kind of came out of left field for me.
Okay.
Who would you most want to ride with?
Any person in the world?
Yeah.
Steve McQueen.
He's kind of dead.
Oh, or was just living?
Oh, okay. Why Steve McQueen, out of curiosity? Just because he's cool and he has that kind of thing?
Yeah, he's kind of one of my personal man heroes. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got that painting of him.
Yeah.
And I've totally never stood in front of it naked. And he's the star of one of my favorite movies,
mm-hmm.
Bullet, yeah. Which is not a good movie.
No, the car chase is kind of cool.
The car chase is awesome, but yeah, the rest of it, and when he hits women and stuff, what, that's just straight out of the 60s. I don't know. But
different world.
Still one of my favorite car chases. Love that guy. And I'll remember Sunday. It's just, he's so chill and just so
cool.
He just wants to ride.
It's kind of his thing.
Yeah, he's cool and he wants to ride. And, you know, being a Hollywood megastar was just sort of...
It happened.
Yeah.
Because he's just that awesome.
He is. Yeah. He's just that awesome.
I was just hanging around being insanely cool and they put me in movies. Hey.
I'm going to go ride a motorcycle now. On fire. That's who I want to ride with.
Gotcha. Huh.
Who would you want to ride with?
Okay, this one's going to sound a little sentimental and lame.
Your dad?
Yeah, actually. My dad used to ride bikes back in the day and stopped riding. You know, he's the one who talks about, you know, the story of, oh, well, the only way I had a bunch of bikes, the only way you could do them was push start them, which is typical of every vehicle my father owns. Boats, cars, bikes. None of them are nice.
I would love to ride with my dad, except he was so vehemently anti-motorcycle.
My dad talks about it periodically, and I would think to myself, I'm like trying not to be like super dorked out, but part of me is just, oh my God, that was so cool. That was so cool.
There was one year my dad actually mentioned, this was before I started riding, this was back when I was in my 20s, you know, we should learn to, you know, get some motorcycles and ride across the country. Mm. 10 years later, I mentioned that to him, and he was like, I must have been out of my fucking gourd.
Well, tell us how you really feel.
I meant bicycles. I was like, you wanted to ride bicycles across the fucking Mojave? Are you insane?
He lights up a cigarette and goes, yeah.
Wait, my dad's Steve McQueen?
Fucking why not? Turns out all along.
Better than motorcycles, those things will kill you. I was telling you about the time I T-boned a car and flipped into the driver's seat directly into a woman's vagina.
Weirdly, I can hear your dad saying that.
Well, that's because he did say that. I did not make that up. That was one of the stories he told me as an example why I shouldn't be riding when I started riding.
You can take the man out of the Navy. But sometimes it's a little hard to get the Navy out of the man.
There's a reason that man joined the Navy. Do you know, he has a story about why he joined the Navy.
Oh.
Yes. He had two older brothers. Both of them were about 10 years older than him. So as a child, he got to see them grow up, go out into the world, and come back with the fruits they reaped. Mm-hmm. One brother joined the Army. Mm-hmm. The other brother joined the Navy. Mm-hmm. The Army brother came back poor, hung around the kitchen, ate food. Mm-hmm. The Navy brother would come back with pockets filled with money, and he'd go out and get laid the entire time he was home.
I see. I can see the decision making process forming here.
He would be drunk and laid every single night.
Wow.
And he would still have a little money left over by the time he went back to wherever he was going. So, you know, a 12, 13-year-old young father. Which one do I want to be?
I guess the only thing that really frightens me about my old man and a motorcycle is he's calm and he's very serious about being safe on the road and that. Except I know why, because I've seen what's lurking under the surface there.
Well, he is like a fighter pilot, right?
Exactly. Every once in a while, that other tot senior pops out for a minute, and you're like, holy shit.
We've got that too.
Nah.
Yeah, but imagine what happens if, like, they both hit at the same time.
Oh, God. They just calm. Nail it.
Andrew wanted to know how we met.
How we met.
And if there was a kiss.
No. There was me almost falling off the straw. I'm laughing, though.
That's not how we met.
No?
No.
No, that's right. We met. Did we meet at a ride? I don't even remember.
We met at Claire's house.
Was it at Claire's house?
It was at Claire's house. I had posted on the Garen Bikers. I am new.
Wait, we met on the internet.
We were internet blind date.
Internet friends.
And Claire was like, come over to my house. And this was before I knew Claire was a man.
I had almost the same reaction, ironically, so did Mike. He met him, he's like,
I'm like, this girl's inviting me over to her house, just like, straight off.
Nice.
Oh, cool. And I show up. And
nice. It's a 40-year-old man.
There's a 5-foot tall man with a mustache, and behind him is this sort of grungy looking dude that came slithering down the stairs.
Hey.
I was like, hi.
I'm a ninja.
I'm ninja.
Yeah, that was when we went up and we rode. That was the day I remembered things about ninjas, like don't try to outrun.
We didn't ride that first day.
Oh, we didn't.
No, I came over at night because a girl was inviting me to her house. So I came over at night.
Okay.
It was at night. I don't know what you two were doing.
Oh, that was I remember what we were doing that night. Actually, we were putting crash bars on the Vulcan.
Okay,
which, by the way, should never be done by anyone under any circumstances. Holy crap. What a nightmare. Actually, it wasn't long after that he sold that thing.
Yeah, because it was, I think the first ride I went on, he had the ST.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so brand spanking new.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's how we met. I showed up to a girl's house expecting a girl and found two dudes.
Two bearded dudes.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. I'm like holding like a box of 100 condoms thinking, man, this is awkward. I'm totally not going to need these amyl nitrates now.
I'm worried. I was wondering if you wanted to keep your fingers from getting slimy when you worked on bikes. These were great.
And there was no kissing.
No. Yeah, it's funny that I don't even remember that. I'll be perfectly honest with you.
I remember it because I met Claire first, and because he invited me into, you know, remember he had that big, the front room.
Yep.
And you just sort of came down the stairs like you were at the bathroom or something. You just, and I was just like, there's two of them. Oh my God, they're going to rape me.
I have a way of doing that. Hi. How long have you been back there in the darkness? Long enough.
It was weird enough that I was already, you know, going on some strange internet person's house.
Yep, I'm at the internet house.
Turned out to be a dude. And then another dude shows up, and he's the friend of the first dude.
And there's dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what's weird, though, is Claire has great record for introducing me to people. Claire introduced me to you, and now we do the podcast. He set me up on a blind date with my wife.
And now she's your wife.
And now she's my wife, and we have a kid, and yada, yada. So I was like, huh. And Claire says, you should meet somebody. Now I'm like, okay. Sounds good. Next one will be, you know, business part. Oh, I want to get you into this business and give you $1 million. As opposed to meal nerds, which is negative many dollars.
Yeah, I'm talking. Where do you want to go in life?
Meaning on a bike or just go in life?
Go in life. Where do you see your life going?
Jesus Christ, I have no freaking idea. I totally knew a year and a half ago. Now you're a kid.
Yeah, I was going to say, a year and a half ago.
It corresponds with a kid, which suddenly everything you thought was important is now total jackassery. Mm-hmm. Where do I want to go in life? Honestly, I want to raise a good kid, and I want to do campground hosting with my wife with an RV and a motorcycle trailer.
Okay. So you want to like be one of those old people with the big, huge RV?
I want to do like Jeff and Ann are doing with no fixed address. You get like the South Dakota mail drop box thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just go wherever. Where do you want to go? I don't know. It's nice north. Fuck it. Let's go north.
Huh?
I want to do that. That sounds cool. In the meantime, you know, having a job and doing the suburban jackass thing works really well for having a family. So screw it. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, doing that does work well for so providing.
So how about you? Where do you want to go in life? I say this as someone whose career is much more firmly established than me, and you know, you make 4 tacos a week.
I don't know.
Yeah.
If you've asked me this prior to me suddenly being divorced, I would have had a better idea.
Funny how that happens.
I don't know. I in a lot of ways, I feel like there's 10 years of my life that all of a sudden just went poof.
Yeah.
Yeah. The far side of that, I have a beautiful daughter who's 6 mm-hmm. and is growing up with her is great. Cause now she's a person. She has person, mm-hmm. you know, opinions, thoughts. And she's like, she's great to be around.
Mm.
Outside of her, you know, I have a wonderful girlfriend who's very supportive. And that just sort of makes the question even bigger. Like, well, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? I don't know. Travel is kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to England.
Yeah.
I don't know where my life is going. I work. I put money into various savings accounts for my daughter.
Now, here's the thing that I found that's interesting. Does it matter to you so much now that you don't 100% know where it's going?
No.
I feel exactly the same way. I'm like, what's going to happen? I don't know. Does that bother you? No.
I don't feel like I'm in my 40s. Like I said, I feel like my 30s is just sort of evaporated. And I'd like
you're back.
I'm back to my 30s.
Reset to 30s.
It helps to have a girlfriend who's 30. So. But yeah, I just feel like that's what makes me angry the most, I guess, about my marriage is I feel like there's just this chunk of time that just sort of got flushed.
Yeah.
And what made it worse was just the way
it went.
The way the marriage ended. Mm-hmm. Where it was like, yeah, I sort of settled for you. They're like, well, that's 10 years of my life. Thanks.
Thanks. That's,
neat.
I'm going to go over here now.
Yeah. Now I've got to try to, now I feel like, I'm kind of set back, except I've got, you know, a daughter and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you came out on top.
Yeah, I'm in a different place than I was when I was 30. I'm mm-hmm. in a better place now, but it's still that whole, I don't know where I'm going to go from here now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I thought I knew where everything was going. I was married, had a house, I had a family, I had a career.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was set. Now it's just,
okay.
Yeah. So it's interesting to me that you have that sort of sense of.
I have that vague sense of kind of the trajectory of things, but honestly, I don't know. I'm new at this dad thing. I've only been doing it for about a year and a half.
Yeah, I felt a lot more like settled as to where stuff was going.
I have no idea. None whatsoever. Other than, you know, job A is dad.
Mm-hmm.
Job B is do other. I don't know what job B even is. I'm at that point. I don't even know what job B is. So, on motorcycle questions, somebody asked, what's your take on technology in bikes? I see a lot of grumbling online about fuel injection, anti-lock brakes, and traction control features being horrible, air quotes, based on the idea that you can't fix them on the side of the road, as well as the idea that the real, air quotes, riders don't need them. Personally, I'm all for these technologies. I think they're more reliable now than ever. Even the most basic car comes with them standard, yet rider resistance has allowed bikes to get away with charging a premium on the tech.
He's they're right. I mean, the more advanced the bikes get, the harder they are to work on.
You know, I broadly agree with that if that was true, but it's not.
Well, I mean,
if they're harder to work on with primitive tools, here's the thing about fuel injection, anti-lock brakes, traction control features. Here's how you work on fuel injection. You plug in the fuel injection thing, mm-hmm. and you push the buttons until it's set right. End of freaking story. No screws, no weird things, no replacing jets, no replacing holes and things, no measuring tiny things. Push the goddamn buttons until it's right. That's easy. That's a joke.
Yeah, but that's like you're fixing it in your garage.
Uh-huh.
I think what he's saying is you're fixing it somewhere out there.
And that's my other point about this. How many times have you heard of someone's fuel injection system packing up when they're not at home?
I don't know.
I know of one.
The thing that keeps coming in my head is watching like Long Way Round, some mm-hmm. show like that,
yeah.
where the bike's welded its computer to the frame.
Okay, in fairness, died. Somebody welded the computer to the frame in that case.
Not that, but there was something happened with the bike where it was just, they were stopped. And mm-hmm. they had to have the bike carried in somewhere. And they had to make like satellite phone calls and take mm-hmm. advantage of their giant support team mm-hmm. to get their. Well, no, one bike didn't even get going again. They bought a new bike.
They just got rid of it.
Yeah.
No, as true as that might be, and you know, if I was going across totally low tech areas, something like a Ural that you could fix with a rock would be tempting.
Mm-hmm.
But for riding in, almost anywhere in the Americas.
Yeah, riding in the first world.
First world, and even most of the third world.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing is, honestly, fuel injection doesn't break. It just doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
The bike computers never break.
I know of one. I know of a bunch that broke.
I know of one example.
I ride a Buell.
Right. That's it. That's the example I know. That's the thing. What other bikes do you know where the fuel injection crapped out? I mean, there's mechanical components attached to the fuel injection that crap out. Fuel pumps? Yes. Fuel pumps will shit the bed. Yep. You know what? A fuel pump on a carb bike will shit the bed.
Yeah.
That's just the way it goes. But I mean, fuel injection doesn't break. Anti-lock brakes. Okay. Bullshit. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
I got nothing on anti-lock brakes.
Anti-lock brakes, well, the horrible based on you can't fix them on the side of the road. Let's keep in mind, what's the failure
rate
mode of anti-lock brakes?
Okay.
Regular brakes.
They just don't work.
No, they're just regular brakes.
Yeah.
They don't anti-lock
anything. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's the failure mode of the system. That's how they're built, and they're built that way for a reason. Mm-hmm. You don't want a failure mode where they just lock.
What about fly-by-wire?
Like throttle by wire?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm half throttled by wire already. So are you.
But like on a system like, the Tenere or something?
Well, what are you worried about as opposed to a throttle cable breaking?
I don't even know what happens when one of those breaks.
Well, if throttle cable breaks, you can't add the throttle anymore.
Right.
If throttle wire breaks, you can't add throttle anymore.
But with throttle cable, you just replace the cable.
Yeah. And with the wire, you replace the wire.
Is that what the by wire means? I thought the by wire referred to it. It talks to the computer.
Yeah.
And the computer does the rest.
Yeah. It's got a little sensor on it. So it talks to the computer and tells you what your throttle position is.
There's multiple things that could fail there. What if the sensor fails? What if, you know?
I know of no failures of the TPS on the Strom. That's the throttle position sensor,
yeah.
which is it's a half-throttle-by-wire system. Most fuel-injected bikes are half-throttle-by-wire. Mm-hmm. It's usually air-by-cable and fuel-by-wire.
Mm-hmm.
Fuel-by-cable is basically unheard of and hasn't been a thing for a decade or more. So, again, the argument is you can't fix it on the side of the road. My counter-argument is you don't have to. It's not the thing that breaks.
Okay.
You know, it's the... What if the Prime Minister of China is in on it? Oh God, we can't go to China. It's a straw man argument. The anti-lock brakes, the thing that really bothers me about those is people saying, you know, like rear riders won't need them. That's bullshit. A real rider at 100% on their best day could mm-hmm. theoretically outbrake an anti-lock braking system. Cause, you know, you on your best day are working, say you're doing a 98% of your braking skill.
Are there really people that don't like ABS systems?
There are actually people who think it's a dumb idea.
I like the idea that they're spreading. I mean,
I think it's great. I mean, yeah. It can only be a good thing. Now, the flip side of that, I will say, is that anti-lock brake systems you can't turn off are stupid.
Especially if you're going to go off-road.
Because there are, off-road situations you don't want anti-lock.
Yes.
Traction control features, that one I have a little more trouble with.
Most of them are adjustable, or you can turn off. Yeah,
because the ones on my car make me nuts. Nuts. But again, it's in the off-road situations where they make me nuts. As soon as I'm on road, I love it.
Yeah.
Because the slightest little thing goes wrong, and the car's like, I got it.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're bad things at all. I think it's silly to, you know, resist them because they're different and new and scary.
Okay.
I think really what it is people are intimidated by them because they don't understand them. But quite honestly, most of the people who are saying that shit, they don't understand carbs are full of shit. You know how freaking hard carbs are? Carbs are a giant pain in the butt. Million little fiddly bits, mm-hmm. and you have different bits overlap different things, and you have to like know how the graph goes. Screw it. No.
Okay.
More fuel at this range. Boop. Done. That's where it's at.
Okay.
So there. Jerks.
Todd has a
piece. Eat it! And as we learned already today, Todd.
Oh, fuck.
Is God right.
Damn it. All right. Given that, the follow-up then is, what's your most anticipated new bike?
New bike. Anticipated new bike.
Forget the kid. Forget the Strom.
Yeah. No, I'm not really anticipating that very hard. I don't think I have a specific bike. Actually, you know what I'm really interested to see if it ever becomes a real thing?
Mm.
Is that Piaggio hybrid motorcycle.
Piaggio's.
It's an MP3 hybrid.
Okay.
Mostly because I want to see how the hybrid goes in a bike. Because if you think of the situations where an electric motor is strong, the bike has most of those things, but you don't have that, you know, you've got that range problem. A hybrid doesn't have that problem.
Yeah.
And you sip gas, you get the torque like an electric motor, and it seems like really, really, really good thing in a bike. Like, it seems like a bike would be a strong place for that. Trouble is, I don't know how the weight ratio comes out, so I don't know. I am very, very interested to see what happens there.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you think about the riding you do. I mean, just like where a Prius will turn on the electric, if you're cruising around town, turns on the electric motor kind of thing.
Yep.
I mean, it'd be great on a bike.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't need that much electric motor to be really good now on a bike around town.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think it's intriguing. I want to see what happens there. Because until realistically we have...
So are they doing it on an MP3 or is it they're doing it on like
it's a on an MP3.
Okay.
Yeah. At least that was the theory a while ago. I haven't looked recently.
Okay. Was it just like in a concept stage?
I think it was in the rolling concept stage.
Okay.
So
I hadn't heard of that. So
yeah. I want to see what they do there. I mean, it may turn out that just straight electric is the sensible way to go with bikes. The trouble with that is all of our power in the U.S. comes from coal, and that's worse than gas, which sort of defeats the purpose. Other than, you know, now it's putting out smoke in someone else's backyard. Which is silly.
Well, I don't care about them. Fuck them. America.
America. Screw the poor. So how about you? What are you anticipating? What's the one that's speaking to you?
I want to see what Buell does for an AX.
Yeah, actually, I hadn't thought of that, but that is also
I want to see intriguing. what those letters stand for.
Mm. Maybe they stand for Axe Body Spray. And it would be like, maybe it would be like the super duper like Guido bro bike.
Buell's body spray? I'd wear it.
No. I'm talking the bike will be for the same audience. Are you a meathead?
What kind of bike would that be?
With gelled hair.
Would it have like this super long swing arm?
Yes, muscled super long swing arm and loads of Axe body spray. Going to the Jersey Shore.
Neon.
Jersey Shore.
Neon and
mm-hmm. Yep. It's the dude bro bike. It's coming. The Axe. Five Buell. Pick up the bitches.
If that was the case, I think he might not have mentioned something to Hero when they were signing their funding deal.
Are you out of your mind? Have you seen what they buy in the Indian market? They were like, you have to make the Axe. Or you can't come. You gotta market it here first.
What are they made? It's like
get laid.
Every Indian guy I know is like talking about riding little scooters and stuff, and how badass that was.
Mm-hmm.
What are they buying now?
I apparently stretched out Buells with neon. It's coming, Chuck.
No,
the Buell X. Listeners, get busy with Photoshop.
Axe. What else?
Axe.
How do you decide where you want to go?
I find a few things I'm interested in a general area. I put pins in a map and I head in that direction.
Yeah, I look up restaurants. I watch
same basic principle.
Travel Channel, and they do like best steaks in America, and I Google map those.
Yeah, I pick a few things I want to go see, and then the other thing I do is I make it a point to, and this is something I only have come to in the last few years that I realized. I was traveling around car tripping with my wife all the time.
Okay.
Thing you got to do, you figure out some stuff you want to go see and you head toward it. And if something is the least bit interesting to you, just start dicking around and start looking at shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what's definitely down there? Yeah. I don't know. Let's go check it out.
You got to stop to see the thing.
Yeah. The things. Hey, there's a thing.
Or the spot.
Or there's a spot. Or there's a, or there's
or the
a
cave.
Where's that
or
go?
Mystery.
Where's that thing
you ever
go?
See the thing?
No.
I don't remember where it is, but it's somewhere Arizona or New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thing.
Mm-hmm. The thing.
It's some sort of desiccated corpse
of
something.
Okay.
Perhaps put together.
Mm-hmm. But it's the thing.
It had a giant billboard.
I don't usually go to the tourist traps so much, but if there's like...
Oh, you gotta stop for that. It's like the old-timey tourist trap.
The ones I can't stay away from, if there's like... Schmuckelman Brothers Winery.
Oh, man.
Or like... Bob and Joe Dunkelman, never heard of it in your fucking life, State Park.
I want to stop at the hole right outside of Moab every time I drive by it.
You guys.
Like, look, there's a hole. We could stop there and go look in the hole.
Don't let us look in the hole for only $10.
Yeah.
It's a bargain.
Fuck yeah. Let's go look in the hole.
All right. Next year, we'll go look at the hole.
Yes. And there's like a petting zoo. With a... sad animal of some sort. Who the fuck cares? I want to go look in the fucking hole. I want a picture of myself standing next to the hole. You know what? No, bullshit. I want a picture of my daughter looking unhappy standing next to the hole. Fuck, yes.
You really are getting in. You really just settle right into this dad thing, don't you?
Fucking, it happened.
Go stand in the hole so I can take a picture.
There's so many pictures of me doing that. Fuck yeah.
Time to the circle of life, huh?
Yes, that's a certain wait until you do it. You're going to be like, well, Chuck, sorry to the hole.
Go stand there and look bored.
Why are we doing this? Because Chuck brought Sophie to the hole to shut up. I'm not going to have a picture of me, you not
stand there. You're going to stand there and look sullen, and you're going to take a picture.
If I have to hear about Sophie in that goddamn hole one more time, show him. Look, I got a picture of the hole.
Here's my daughter looking sullen. Next time.
That's neat, Todd. Yeah, you went to the hole? Yeah, I went to that a couple years ago. Now we went to the thing. Here's a picture of Sophie standing next to the thing.
Oh, well, you know, we went and saw the largest prairie dog in Kansas.
I went to go see that fucking traffic cone that's like 2 stories tall.
We saw the Big Gus, the world's largest working chainsaw in the UP.
Got so many places. Or the solitary big boy statue in Tonopah?
Yeah, that's a little creepy. I'm gonna be honest.
It's not, there's no restaurant there.
No.
It's just, there he is.
There's Big Boy.
With that smile. Now stand next to it so I can take a picture.
Stand next to it and look sullen.
Fuck yeah. That's how I'm deciding where to go now.
We're gonna go here. Here's the picture. You're gonna look unhappy.
Now get into your hole.
Get over there. Stand there. So they also ask, when packing for your trip to a place where the daughters will look sullen, is there anything you take that isn't required and why? Other than
so much stuff.
I always take some method to make coffee, which is not strictly speaking required unless you're riding with me and want to live. I always take a book. That's one of those, like, gotta have the book.
Yeah, but you read it, don't you?
Usually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, if I'm off just hanging out with you guys in the evening, I'm usually pissed drunk by the time I go to bed. I just fall asleep.
Yeah.
But I always have the book with me because to me, it's like it's really important that if all else fails, I can like go in my tent and read my book, and just the world can just take a flying leap.
Okay.
So I always bring that.
I bring too many clothes.
Yeah.
I don't know why I bring so much clean underwear, but I bring a lot of clean underwear.
Yeah, I do one per day and one spare in case they get wet.
Yeah, I bring a lot of clean underwear.
Actually, the other thing I always bring is I always feel the need to bring a towel.
You always have to bring a towel.
And to date, I've only used it once.
But that's a good point.
I mean, because...
Like a big towel or a dish towel? Or
no, like a body towel, like a beach towel kind of thing. I got a beach towel, and I will never
use it. You know what I almost never use? What's trunks, that? Swimming trunks. But I always pack them.
Yeah.
But I never use them.
Yeah.
The one time where I jumped into that deserted hot spring.
Yeah.
I jumped in my underwear.
Yeah.
But I had swim trunks and the bike.
Uh-huh.
But I just went, yeah. It was me and another dude in our underwear.
Peculiar.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Kind of an underwear. Yeah, I think the only other thing that I always bring that's totally unnecessary is I tend to bring way too many snacky things. And dumb snacky things, too. Like I've been on the bike for 2 hours. I go into, like, a place that sells snacks, and I'm like, I'm one of those, I'm one of those, I'm one of those. I don't like any of these. I'm buying them anyway. Ooh, pepperoni. I hate pepperoni. I will always buy pepperoni on the road, and I don't know why.
Circus peanuts.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing. Yeah, these are awful. I want them.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just do.
Sailing time.
Circus peanuts. Yeah, great.
What did you want to be when you grew up? What did Wee Todd want to be?
Wee Todd wanted to be either a fighter pilot or a paleontologist.
That's what Sophie wants to be, paleontologist.
Yeah, pay in fresh air and sunshine. No. Ask my wife, the geologist. Yeah, that was kind of what I was thinking. I also had electrician in my head, only because it was something I didn't really understand very well, and that always irks me. Mm. Hate not knowing stuff. Pisses me off. Part of my know-it-all nature, I guess.
Computer nerd was always pretty high up there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Surprising.
Or writer.
Or writer, yeah. I tossed writer around on and off. And then I, could never finish anything.
Yeah, that's a problem. I can finish stuff. I just can't go back and redo draft.
Yes.
I can't do second or third drafts.
Mm-hmm.
To save my life.
I just go back and edit.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Well, I wrote this thing. Is it good? No.
I'm like, go back and fix it. And I'm like holding up both fingers. Just
cannot do impossible. Never.
Like,
works.
It's amazing I even edit this podcast at all. Because I've got so many first drafts of shit lying around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a few of them myself.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's see. We got a couple letters left.
Yeah, a couple letters. Roland wrote to us, Chuck, I took this picture at 17th and State. I'm pretty sure this guy is a former Buell Ural owner, judging from his boots. He was being safe, maybe. Nice to see a helmet. Sincerely, Roland. He's got wellies on!
Rain boots?
He brought his wellies!
Wellies! Is that what those are called?
Yeah, wellies.
Okay.
Wellington boots. Wellies.
I just call them rain boots.
Yeah, they're wellies.
Or gardening boots.
Wellies.
My mom wears them.
Wellies. As everyone knows, a lot of people ask me, what are the boots you should wear on a motorcycle to be as safe as possible?
And I say wellies.
Well, yeah. If you're in a situation where you might possibly be in wet or mud or need to look like an old lady, you wear some wellies.
You're the one responsible for this picture? This dude was in your class?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I tell everybody, I was like, go out and buy a pair of, your standard olive green wellies. You'll be set. You'll love it. Don't forget your wellies. They got your wellies on!
Okay. Amanda writes, when does Billy look the coolest? When he has to ride one-handed down the highway because he needs his other hand to hold down the back of his white shirt so he doesn't moon all the drivers he's passing with either his boxers poking out of his shorts or his ass crack.
Way to be, Billy.
This doesn't sound very hypothetical.
No, it sure doesn't.
He's probably also hiding the tramp stamp he got when he was drunk.
Could be. Although, I have to say that this is not in any way limited. Ironically, as I was coming over here, I learned that this is not in any way limited to guys. No.
Okay.
No, I came over here and I ended up driving behind Sally.
Oh.
Who was rolling along Whale tail for all the show. That's where the, you know, thong comes up above the pants.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Was she cute?
No.
Does she have a nice body?
No.
I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm very equal opportunity. You know, I'm just saying.
But yeah, so she's riding along and her shirt's coming up and she's just whale tailing the world.
And you're like,
up for a ride. And I'm like, huh. That's really going to hurt in your tank top. And now her boots had lots of fancy sparkly bits on them.
Did they have stilettos?
No, but they had lots of, you know, like metal studs. They were clearly
what was she
like,
wearing?
Like she was wearing jeans.
80s boots?
Yeah, they're kind of 80s boots, actually. You know, in fact, they looked like something Madonna would be wearing in the 80s. Yeah, definitely. More like 80s hairband boots. Yeah, and, you know, the tank top, and the tank top's blowing up, and she's like, look, there's my underwear protruding above my pants. Enjoy, everyone. Have a nice day. I hope there's no bees.
Oh, God, a bee!
I've made terrible choices. She was not wearing wellies, however. Although, after I showed my wife the picture with the wellies... She sent me at noon today. She's like, I think the welly guy has friends.
Oh, there's... Wow.
There was somebody else out riding his scooter in snow clogs. She's like, well, that's... apparently this is a thing now. Ugly, inappropriate footwear. Crocs cannot be far behind.
It's over the ankle.
Yes.
Over the ankle. Mm-hmm. You know. What are you afraid of?
Being trapped.
Like in a room?
Doesn't matter. Room, situation. Going down a road I can't turn around and get out of. Being stuck in a job, being stuck in a place.
You ever feel trapped in your helmet?
No. Really enough. Helmet feels like part of my head when I put it on. I put on the helmet and it's just like my outer skin of my head kind of thing.
Trapped in your car?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. I won't sit in the backseat of cars. I don't like it.
I get car sick.
I just get edgy.
Edgy. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of spiders.
I'm afraid of them too.
There's a spider in my house. I'm just going to have to board up the doors and windows and light it on fire.
That's why it's nice to be. My daughter is the greatest daughter in the world. The other day there was a spider going across the patio and she sees it and I start doing E and she goes over and stomps on it. She figured out you can stomp on insects.
My daughter just laughs at me.
Yeah.
She's like, it's a spider.
Mine will get there. What have you learned this week, Chuck?
I've learned I need to stop wearing a thong and a t-shirt when I'm riding.
I've learned that I'm never riding with you. And that's what we got time for this week. Until next time, I'm Todd.
I'm Chuck.
Ride safe, everyone.
Don't forget to go to our webpage and buy stickers. Wheelnerds.com. Buy lots of stickers.
Bye.
There's also a tip jar. Help us support the show. And we'll see you next week.
If you listen to us on iTunes, please write a review for us so that we can get some more exposure and hits. Thanks.
If you like this podcast, you can find more like it at Wheelnerds.com. This has been a Wheelnerds production, all rights reserved. Readings from other sources are the property of their respective owners and are used with satirical intent.